All right, good afternoon. I hope you're warm, at least warm-hearted and warm in spirit, even if the temperature is cold. So especially Ken, welcome, and I'm sure you feel it especially, just coming from Baba. So, all right. Okay, let's pray together. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that we can meet with Thee again today to continue our study in the book of Genesis. We ask Thee, Lord, to continue to guide us and direct us. Give us understanding in Thy word, Father, and bless us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we managed to do all of chapter 39, and I have no doubt but that we can do all of chapter 40 today. As a matter of fact, we'll do chapter 40, and even if it's still early, we'll finish that. And the reason is that some of these chapters now are just simple narrative. There's nothing really greatly complicated in it, so we are able to go a little bit faster there. So we did that last week for chapter 39, and we can do the same thing with chapter 40. Remember, at the end of chapter 39, or in chapter 39, Joseph was brought to Potiphar's house and became overseer over his house. And then we also noticed how he resisted Mrs. Potiphar's temptations. Joseph then is falsely accused, cast into prison, but even in prison, God blesses him. And we'll have reference to that a little bit later on as well. So as we come to chapter 40 in the book of Genesis, Joseph is in prison, and as he is there, he meets Pharaoh's butler and baker in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Now we see here two people mentioned, the butler and the baker. Now the butler is basically the cup bearer, and you can't help but think there of the cup bearer in Nehemiah. Nehemiah, of course, was the cup bearer, but in chapter 1 in Nehemiah, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name. And prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. And then he makes a comment, for I was the king's cup bearer. Now both the king's cup bearer, the butler, and the baker had very responsible positions, because they were basically responsible for Pharaoh's food. Now, we do know from later on, here it just says the butler and the baker, but later on we find out they're actually the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers. So you had more than one person involved in the kitchen department, because that's what we're really talking about here. So you had people that were in charge of cooking the food, and you had people that were in charge of providing the drink for Pharaoh. And it was customary in these days, in those days, to have somebody, you know, basically vouch for it. Sometimes they had people drinking, and if they, you know, did not get sick or die or drop over dead, then Pharaoh or the king would think it was safe to eat. And the same with the food. They would taste some of the food that their ruler would eat, because there were many cases where rulers had been poisoned, either through their drink or through their food. So that the chief butler and the chief baker had very responsible positions. They were very close to the ruler, the same as you see with Nehemiah, you know, for I was the king's cupbearer. And he was very close, to the point where, of course, in the case of Nehemiah, the king observes, how come you are so sad today? You know, and well, then Nehemiah could explain, well, I'm sad because of the situation of my people there in the city of Jerusalem. So the king actually said, well, why don't you go and personally inspect, you know, and look at everything there. So a very responsible decision would be very close to the ruler. And now here, for some reason, the butler and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Now we're not told in what way he had offended or they had offended him. But it would seem that, I mean, you know, you're kind of trying to draw conclusions here of the way things happened. Maybe there was a problem with the food, either the food or the drink. But apparently, you know, the Pharaoh wasn't sure whether it was food or drink. You don't know whether it was poisoned, and you know the Bible doesn't give us these details there. But whatever was there with the food or drink was sufficient for Pharaoh to further investigate, you know, what is it that is causing these problems. So since I'm not sure whether it's the drink or whether it's the food, let's lock both of them up. And then we have time to sort this out. So this is the picture that we really get here. So maybe one of them did try to poison Pharaoh. We don't know because the Bible doesn't tell us. But that is certainly a possibility. But that's all we can call the possibility because the Bible doesn't say. But whatever it was sufficient that Pharaoh got angry and locked both of them up in prison. We see that in verse 2. And Pharaoh was wroth. He was angry against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. So the butler and the baker, that is the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers, they you know, were put in verse 3 in ward in the house of their captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. So we see then there's a problem there somehow with either the food or the drink, and Pharaoh decides to put both of them in. It's interesting to note in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Because the captain of the guard, we know who that was, because that was Potiphar. So he gets involved here again. And that's interesting as we see this passage developing. So here he gets put in the prison because that was the royal prison, the one you have the chief executioner, Potiphar, in charge. So he is there, and we're also now told it was the place where Joseph was bound. So Joseph is there as well. So you see Joseph again getting involved here. Now, as you see that, the captain of the guard, verse 4, charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Now, the last two verses of the previous chapter, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now, we did look at that last week already, and we see, you know, the parallel there, in a sense, with Joseph at the end and Joseph in the beginning. Joseph had been in Pharaoh's house, Potiphar's house, and Potiphar had left everything to him, and he didn't have to worry about anything. You know, the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw the Lord was with him. And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Potiphar made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass from time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. So, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had. So we saw at that point that Joseph was in Potiphar's house. Potiphar could absolutely trust him. Joseph was in charge of running the household, and he didn't have to worry. Potiphar didn't have to worry about anything because he knew Joseph was doing it. It was done well. Now you get the same thing with the prisoner, the keeper of the prison. He also leaves Joseph in charge, and he doesn't have to worry about it anymore because he looked not to anything that was under Joseph's hand. So he didn't have to worry. Joseph did a good job. Reminder, we must do a good job when we work. But, you know, you see that there. Now, as time has gone by, and we don't know exactly how long, because again, the Bible is silent, but here is Joseph kind of running the prison there, and all of a sudden there's two new prisoners that have come in. Chief of the butlers, chief of the bakers, and again, Joseph is specifically put in charge of these two prisoners. Because, notice verse 4, the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. Now remember who the captain of the guard is. That's Potiphar. So what you see now, as the chief of the butlers and the chief of the bakers, who were obviously very responsible people, or they had a very responsible job, and so they were officers of Pharaoh's. So Potiphar himself now that gets involved in this whole situation. It's not just the keeper of the prison that's involved, but Potiphar himself gets involved. And what you see now is that Potiphar again has that confidence in Joseph. So, you know, you get an interesting thing. First, he puts him in charge of everything in his house. Then the situation develops with Potiphar's wife. He puts him in prison. The fact that he does not kill Joseph, indicative, as I mentioned last week already, that he probably did not quite trust the story that his wife had told him. And so here now, Joseph is kind of in charge of the prison there under the keeper. And again, Potiphar knows that Joseph is there. Everything is going well. Here come these two important new prisoners. And Potiphar says, Joseph, I want you to take charge of these prisoners. So the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So Joseph ministered to them. He looked after them. He served them, and were told, they continued a season in ward. So sometime that they were there, we don't know how long, alright? But we do know that this was a time that Pharaoh was investigating whatever had happened, which is the one that is guilty. Alright. Is the prisoner, the butler guilty? Is the baker guilty? So that's what they're now examining. So, as we see then, Joseph being in charge in prison, looking after the chief butler, the chief baker, both of them had a dream. So the dreams then of the baker and the butler and their interpretation, verses 5 through 19. So we begin then in verse 5, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So both men had a dream, and it was in the same night. The dreams were in some respect similar. In some respects, of course, there was also very different, but there were similarities. in the dreams, in particular in the number three that was involved in there. Well, they had these dreams, and the next morning, when Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, behold, they were sad. So, same as happened with Nehemiah. Remember? You know, he was in the presence of the king, and he says, and before some I have not been sad in the presence of the king, but now I could no longer control my emotions. And the king saw and said, Nehemiah, why are you so sad? So here Joseph also notices that the chief butler and the chief baker are very sad. And he asks them, why are you so sad? And he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said, well, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me then, I pray you. So they both have this dream, and it's interesting when you talk about these dreams, because if you look at the Bible and you find about interpreting dreams, there's really only two people that interpret dreams, Joseph and Daniel. So these are the two that interpret dreams. And in both of these cases, you know, you see them in a very unusual situation there, because you know, they both served foreign monarchs, and you know, they both worshipped these foreign gods, and in both cases they had to interpret there in a foreign land, and you know, the Lord worked all these things out. So you see it in one case here, Egypt, and the other case you have Babylonia. So you see these things there working. So two people that interpreted dreams, both were in foreign countries, Joseph in Egypt, you know, Daniel in Babylonia. They both interpreted dreams of foreign kings. So here's foreign officials. But later on we see in the next chapter, you know, Pharaoh has dreams, and again, Joseph gets called to interpret those dreams. Well, don't think too much of dreams, by the way. So some people get into dreams and they get carried away. So in this particular case, I believe the dreams came from God, you know, very clearly. So we have the dreams. All right. The chief butler now tells his dream to Joseph. Verse 9, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. All right, so that is the dream. Now, in that dream, you see, basically then, a vine was before me, and it's like the thing is growing in the dream. The vine is there, you see the branches, all of a sudden, you know, it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. So if you see it developing there, so in that dream, he sees that, and then all of a sudden, he has Pharaoh's cup in his hands. And he takes the grape, he presses them into Pharaoh's cup, and gave the cup unto Pharaoh's hand. But there's a number of threes that you see here. And first of all, it was, you know, three branches. So there is a three. And then what happened? It budded. It blossomed, and there were clusters of ripe grapes. So again, three things that you see. First there was the bud, then the flower, and then you have the ripe grapes. And then he took the grape, he pressed them, and he gave unto Pharaoh's hand. Again, three things that are mentioned there. The word cup is mentioned three times in this passage. The word Pharaoh is mentioned three times in this section here. So there's a lot of threes that occur here. And so this, of course, involves the interpretation, as Joseph said in verse 12. This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. So he gives him some good news. You're going to be restored as butler. Now, again, like I say, we know Pharaoh was angry at them. Some of the details were not told, but we do know that Pharaoh was angry. But if there is indeed some plot against the life of Pharaoh, then of course one of them would know, hey, I have nothing to do with that. The other one would know, I'm caught. So you have to consider that. So when it comes to telling the dreams, the baker's quiet. He doesn't say anything. But it's the butler. He has nothing to worry about. You know, in a sense, he has nothing to worry about because he knows that he is not guilty. So he's very quick to tell his dream. So, again, you know, conscience works there. So the butler, he didn't have to worry about his conscience. He knows, my conscience is clear. I haven't done anything bad against Pharaoh. So, here's my dream. But then you get, of course, the other dream. And that's the baker. Now, the baker, he probably knew that whatever he had done wasn't very good, whatever it was. So, he initially did not share anything. But now, he's kind of encouraged. Because the interpretation of the butler's dream was very good. So, that's a good answer, and maybe mine will come out well also. Because this is what we told. Because we come out to the next dream. All right. Verse 14, by the way. Let's go to verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, so it's not till he hears that interpretation that he then dares to speak up. And he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And by the way, the archaeologists have found pictures with 3 baskets on the head. All right? So this, again, you know, they have found this is something that really happened. So this is not something that is just seen as a story here, but actually happened there. Well, he said, I have 3 white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. So, that's nice, you know, pastry that he had made, and he was sure that Pharaoh would enjoy it. The only problem, the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. See, he didn't have any saran wrap or, you know, foil to cover them up. So they were just out in the open air, and the birds dive bombed and took it and took it and took it. And pretty soon, there was nothing left over. Well, Joseph answered that dream also and said, this is the interpretation. Again, 3 baskets, 3 days. Yet within 3 days, shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. So, not a very good interpretation there. Now, there's an interesting repetition in words here, because in verse 13 he says, you know, Pharaoh will lift up your head. And now here in verse 19, Pharaoh will lift up your head. So the same words are used. Pharaoh will lift up your head. But in one case, Pharaoh will lift up your head and he will restore you to your position as chief butler. But in the other case, Pharaoh will lift up your head. Now, there's two interpretations given here. One says that he got his head chopped off because, Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee. So the from off thee, that the head was chopped off. But then it also says, and shall hang thee on a tree. It's hard to hang him on a tree if his head is chopped off. So I'm not quite sure how this all fits together. So because when you read later on, he does get hanged. And he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. So he did get hanged. But in both cases, interestingly, it says, Pharaoh will lift up your head. Well, the one got lifted up and restored to his position. The other one, the head got lifted up, but there was also a rope around the neck to help him being lifted up. But it's interesting to see the same vocabulary used there in the being lifted up. So we see then the interpretation of the two dreams. But let me go back a moment now to verses 14 and 15. Alright, because as soon as he gives the interpretation of the dream to the butler, Pharaoh will restore you. You will deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But then Joseph said, can you please do me a favor? When you are back there at Pharaoh's, think on me when it shall be well with thee. So when things are going well with you, you've been restored, you're once again the chief butler there serving the king. Think about me and show kindness. I've been kind to you. I've given the interpretation of your dream. Now you be kind to me and make mention of me unto Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. So, please speak to Pharaoh on my behalf so that he can release me from prison. And then he gives two reasons for that in verse 15. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. Alright, so that's the first reason. I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. This should never have happened. I should never have been here because, I was in the land of the Hebrews. Interesting term too. The land of the Hebrews. He doesn't say I was in Israel. He doesn't say I was in Palestine, but in the land of the Hebrews. So that's how the Jews, Jacob's family, were apparently known in those days. I came from the land of the Hebrews. And he doesn't here go into all the details about the brothers, throwing him into the empty well and then pulling him out and selling him to Egypt. But he does make reference, two things that have happened. He said, I'm really here unjustly. And then also, and here also, have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. So I'm put here, but I really don't deserve to be here because I am not guilty of any particular crime. So he said, please, for these two reasons, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and I haven't done anything that I deserve to be here in this prison, so please speak to Pharaoh on my behalf. Well, you see the two dreams. You see the two interpretations. Alright? And now the thing comes true. So the last part in this chapter, verses 20 to 23. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. So even they celebrated birthdays. So celebrating birthdays today is nothing new. Alright? We celebrate birthdays here, don't we? So they celebrated birthdays too. And it's been suggested by the commentators that Pharaoh may have already known who was guilty and who was not, but decided to wait to his birthday to give the verdict there. So this is suggested, like I say, by the commentators. Because now it was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast unto all his servants. He had a birthday party, in today's terminology. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. So they were both called in, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he, the butler, gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. So as soon as he is restored, he immediately goes back and says, "Sir, here is your drink." So immediately goes back to work. But then he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. So what Joseph had interpreted exactly came true. He said, one will be restored, the other one will be hanged. And that's what happened. You know, interpretation of dreams, as Joseph said, belongs to God. You know, he makes it very clear. You know, do not interpretations belong to God, back in verse 8. But then God gave him the interpretation. Same with Daniel, interpreting the dream of the king, Nebuchadnezzar. You know, again, it was God that gave him the interpretation. Here, God gave him the interpretation. He was able to interpret, and as he had interpreted, it came to pass. There's only one real problem there, because the butler forgot Joseph. All right? Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. So Joseph was forgotten. Now, Arnold Fruchtenbaum puts it this way. While on the human side, this was ingratitude, on the divine side, it was not yet time for Joseph's release. Joseph had to wait 2 more years. We know that because the next chapter begins, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So 2 more years went by. So here again, you see that working of God, the providence of God. God is still in control. You know, he said, Joseph, it's not yet time. You stay here for another 2 years. Of course, he didn't tell Joseph that. So it's easy for us to look back and say that. But Joseph was there in prison. You know, he must have, you know, wondered, you know. Can't help but think that he must have wondered about this. You know, okay, 3 days, butler and the baker, they were both taken out. Whether he knew that the baker got hanged or not, whether he was told or whether he saw it, you know, we don't know because the Bible is silent on that. But he knows that both the butler and the baker, they're no longer there in prison. I wonder how long it'll take the butler to tell Pharaoh about me. You know, well, maybe I'll hear him tomorrow. Nothing happened. No news. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe the next day. A week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. No news. Did he forget me? Again, we don't know what Joseph was thinking because the Bible is silent. But you can't help. I think if we would have been in that position like Joseph was, we would have wondered, when am I going to hear from Pharaoh? This guy, he forgot me, you know, after a couple of months. He must have forgotten me. He must have been so happy that he got put back, you know, in position there. But all part of God's plan. Because it's not so. Pharaoh has a dream, next chapter, that you then see. Oh, Pharaoh, you know, a couple of years ago, you know, you had put both the butler and me and the baker in prison. Yeah, I remember that. Oh, there was somebody there that interpreted the dreams we had back then. Maybe he can interpret your dream, Pharaoh. So it's not till 2 years later. But you know, if Joseph had been released at prison at this point, Pharaoh hadn't dreamed yet. So So maybe the whole thing would never have happened. That's, of course, all hypothetical. But what you see is God's working there. So the timing is still God's timing. You know, sometimes we may not like the timing. We want God to do certain things at certain times. But God's timing is always perfect. You know, Galatians 4:4, a verse that some of you hopefully have memorized. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth His Son. And the fullness of time. This is the time. And so here also, God said, not yet, Joseph, you still got 2 more years to go, and then you can come out. All right? Well, you see there, God's working there. So that everything happened just as Joseph had interpreted. So that basically then takes us to chapter 40. And, you know, you see there, like I say, if you have a dream, don't take too much of it, you know. And you may have experts on dreams. Well, I would be careful with that, you know. If Joseph is there, you can ask him to interpret for you, or if Daniel is there, you can ask him to interpret. But otherwise, don't make too much of the dreams that you have. But in this case, it was God who gave the dreams, and it was God who gave the interpretation, and God used it ultimately for His glory. Well, we'll stop here for today, and then next week we'll start on chapter 41. That's quite a lengthy chapter, 57 verses, so we'll probably need more than 1 week to do that. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we were able to consider together the 40th chapter here in the book of Genesis. Lord, again we see Your working in the lives of Joseph. Lord, we see that so often, how You work in hearts and lives. We thank You that Joseph had absolute confidence in You, trusted You. He did not get angry, as far as we can tell, or started questioning Your working in his life. But Lord, he submitted to Your leading. And Father, even though he had to be in prison for 2 more years, You ultimately did work all things out for good, for Joseph, for his brothers, for his father. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. Bless us now in the worship service to follow. Touch our hearts and lives, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.